there still some too much feedback, too loud? And we need to turn. Okay. Is that better? Is that good? Okay. People say Happy New Year, right? How many times have we heard that in the last few weeks? It's always Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. It's never Happy Christmas and Merry New Year. It's more really than just a social greeting, though, or an expression. If you ask people, what are your hopes for the new year? People want to be happy. They express that, I resolve to be happier in the new year. Correct? But for the Christian, our goal is not to be happy in 2018. As Tom says, our goal is to be holy. Our goal is to be like Jesus Christ. When we pursue holiness, when we pursue the Christian life, it brings happiness. So when our goal is to be like Christ, we will be happy. When our goal is to be happy, then we're selfish. So if we look back on 2017, today being the last day, would you say, I am 100% sure that I'm going to heaven? Can you say that? When you look back on 2017, would you say, I had a robust, powerful prayer life? When you look back on 2017, would you say, I had a key role in building this local church or whatever church you are from? When you look back on 2017, would you say, the Bible was my daily source of truth, strength, answers, and guidance? When we look back on 2017, would we say, I was a strong witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ in my family, in my school, in my job, in my neighborhood? When we look ahead to 2018 then, would you like to have an extremely happy 2018? You know, I should say, if the Lord tarry, right? Those of us who grew up in the church, we always heard that, if the Lord tarries. And we do need to be reminded that we might not even see 2018. The Lord could come back, and we hope He does, but not before all are ready. So as we, Lord willing, look ahead to 2018, wouldn't it be great to have a wonderful 2018? The title of this message is, How to Have a Happy New Year. The text is Psalm 1. The theme will be, A Commitment to the Bible Brings True Blessings. So before we open the Bible and read together, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that You are the creator of life. You are the source of life. And it's Your desire that we would live life as You created it to be, as You intend. We pray that as we would read Your Word, You would open our hearts and our understanding, Father, that we would follow Your ways. Lord, help us to understand this psalm and to apply it to our lives, each one of us, in this morning hour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please open Psalm 1, page 465 in the Pew Bible. And I'd like to request that you keep it open. We're going to go very carefully through nearly every word of this psalm. It's always so important to know the context, right? Who it was written to, when, all that stuff. It's just an indispensable part of understanding the Bible and especially preaching. Well, this one's tough because we don't know who wrote it. We don't know when it was written. We don't know the circumstances of it at all. But we do know that the Bible says that holy men of God spake or wrote as they were inspired. So we do know the author of Psalm 1 is God. We know that all Scripture is inspired by God. It's breathed by God and is profitable. So while we don't know the specifics, we know the author. We also know that deliberately this psalm was placed first in the Psalter, because this is foundational to the rest of the psalms. So as we read and understand this, and as those who would pray and sing and read the psalms would start with Psalm 1, that laid the foundation for the rest of the psalms. And I think it lays the foundation for our lives and for a happy new year. So let's read together. The Bible says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. May God bless the reading of his word. I'd like to go verse by verse through this psalm, and then I'd like to draw out two applications. So as we go through this, think and ask yourself, does this describe my life and my plans for the upcoming year? Let's go through this verse by verse. Verse 1 begins, blessed. I know it's blessed, but I just have to say blessed because you always say it that way, right? Blessed. Blessed is the man. And it doesn't actually mean a male. It means the person. Blessed is the person. It starts with the word blessed. There are two words for blessed in the Old Testament. One of them, number 1288 in Strong's, and the most common one, it's pronounced Baruch. It means blessed by God. It's where God intervenes and grants a blessing. It's a spiritual term, where God blesses somebody, or someone's blessed by God. That's not this word. The second word in the Old Testament for blessed is number 835 in Strong's. It's Esher. It's rarely used. It never refers to God. It's not something God does. Its definition is an objective state of well-being in every area of life that can be observed by others, accompanied by subjective feelings of joy, satisfaction, and delight. Let me give you that again. Pay attention here. The word blessed, Esher, is the objective state of well-being in every area of life that can be observed by others, and it is accompanied by subjective feelings of joy, satisfaction, and delight. That's this word. And this is the first place in the Bible that that word occurs, right here in Psalm 1. And so, if I were to summarize what it means, it's living life as the Creator intended it to be. So, blessed is life as it should be. Blessed is the man. So, moving on, that word blessed is the same as in the Beatitudes, where in Matthew 5, where Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, and so on. Spoke a different language. It wasn't Hebrew, it was Aramaic, but it meant the same. So in the first two verses, we have a description of what that blessed person does not do and what they do. There's a negative and a positive. Verse 1 covers the negative. And I liken it this way. We need to stop doing A in order that we can start doing B. Does that make sense? You know, I say that at work sometimes, trying to get my team to change. Say, you know, if we want to do this, we have to stop doing that. And that's what we have here in verses 1 and 2. First is the negative, what the blessed person does not do, followed in verse 2 by what a blessed person does do. So let's look at this negative. And we see a real progression here. There's a couple of ways of looking at it. The first is as a progression, because it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, does not walk this way, nor, so negative. And see the progression of walking, then standing, and finally, sitting. And the progression from the ungodly to a sinner to the scornful or the mocker. And so if we think of these verses as a progression, we can think of it as a person who does not want to be blessed or who does not follow the ways of God. It's like you're walking by, noticing something. And you stop and take a look. You stand. And then you go have a seat there. When we were young, we used to ride our bike to Midwest camp. And remember, you know, we'd get so thirsty. And we stopped wherever we could to get a drink. And we were out in the middle of Western Ohio, and we were thirsty. It was hot. We couldn't find any place, and we rode our bikes past a bar. And we got this idea, you know, they're going to have something to drink, water or something. We'll go ask them. So we went. We parked our bikes, and we stood there by the door for a little while. Then we went in. We only had water, but that picture comes to mind of these verses showing the progression of an ungodly person, someone who doesn't want to have a good 2018, where first you walk, then you stand there, then you sit. And the first thing you walk by is the ungodly. And think of the progression from ungodly to sinner to scornful. We think of somebody ungodly, we might say, well, they're just not religious. They're a good person. They're moral. But as we get to know them, you know, as we're walking by them, that's just who they appear. Well, they're nice. They're just not a Christian as we walk by. But then as we stand and we observe, we notice, well, actually there's sin in their life. They live for themselves. They're not living for God. And then as we really get to know them, we find out, actually, their life is in rebellion. They're scornful. They mock God by their life and their choices. And it can't be any other way. This psalm presents a stark contrast between the righteous and the unrighteous. And the unrighteous, they might start out just as ungodly, but they end up mocking God. So we could think of these verses as a progression of walking, standing, and then sitting as a progressive slide to total opposition from God. But we could also think of these verses not as a progression, but as an all-inclusive way of thinking about life. And in this sense, we would say, well, all the activities we might undertake can be represented by walking, by standing, by sitting. That's all of our activities. Right? And so then this verse says, blessed is the man that doesn't walk or stand or sit. Any of that man's activities are not in the counsel of the ungodly, the way of the sinner, the seed of the scornful. Let's look at those. What is counsel? The first. You walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. If I were to counsel you, what would I be doing? I'd be giving you advice, right? I'd be talking to you. I'd be expressing a way of thinking. I would be defining truth. And so in this view, we are not to find our source of truth in the ungodly. We're not to think like the world thinks. We don't take the counsel of men as to how we should live, but the counsel of God. So blessed is the man that doesn't follow the ways that the world thinks, nor standing in the way of sinners. And now we go from counsel to way. And if you live the way somebody lives, that describes lifestyle, right? So we go from our way of thinking to our behavior, our way of living, our habits, our patterns. And a blessed person doesn't live like the rest of the world. Doesn't have the lifestyle, the behavior. So not just the thinking and the approach, but also the behavior. And then lastly, does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Where do we sit? We sit in places where we belong, right? When we have a class, we have our assigned seat, we sit there. If we're part of a group, we go to that group, we sit there. And so sitting in the seat of the scornful, to me, represents belonging, identifying with, being one of them, not being separated. And the blessed person does not belong to the world and does not find their fellowship and their source of belonging with unbelievers. We're not one of them. We're separated. And so this verse presents the negative of the blessed person. They do not follow the ways of the world. That's how I would summarize it. They do not follow the ways of the world. If we want to live life as our Creator intended, we must not follow how the world lives. Verse 2 then presents the positive. And it starts with the word but. Three-letter word, but so important. And so I underline it and I circle it. But, because the psalmist and the scripture are saying, there's something different here. I'm contrasting. Don't be this way, but be this way. So what does this blessed person do? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. The word law here is not a reference just to the Ten Commandments, or the law is contained in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. The word law here is more of a general term. It's more elastic. It means the entire revelation of God. To me, the whole Scripture. So the godly person, the one who wants a blessed 2018, delights in the Scripture. The word delight is a good choice. It's an awesome word. What do you delight in? What do you actually delight in? We could use a different word. How about the word desire? I greatly desire this. I delight in that. How about crave? How about long for? How about that thrills me? That's delight, right? What delights you? Does the Word of God delight you? If we want to be blessed, the Word of God will delight us. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. We delight and we meditate. And the word meditate, we know what that means, right? To think deeply on, to reflect, to consider, to look at from every different angle. Like a jeweler would look at a jewel, looking at the different facets as the light shines through it, to examine it, to see, what do I have here? That's meditation. That's where we think, what does the Bible say? Why? What does it mean to me? How should I respond? The blessed person in 2018 will delight in the Word of God and meditate on it day and night. If I were to summarize verse 2, the positive, I would say that instead of following the ways of the world, verse 1, we follow the ways of the Word, verse 2. What's the result of this then? What's the outcome of the person who takes to heart the negative and also the positive? We find that in the next verse. Look at verse 3. He or she will be like a tree. There is an example giving, a allegory. It's not really an allegory, but when you use the word like, you're describing something like a tree. Planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. A tree is strong. A tree is fruitful. A tree never dries out or gets burned out. It's never withered. Why is this tree always fruitful and strong and never withering, always energetic, if you will? Because the Bible says, planted by the rivers of water. It doesn't say the tree is located by the rivers of water. It doesn't say that the tree happened to be by the rivers of the water or coincidentally began to grow. It says the tree was planted. Trees don't plant themselves. Somebody has to plant this tree. God has put you and God has put me where we are. He has planted us in your family, in this church, your job, whatever it is. That's where you've been planted. And we are to grow like a tree, planted by God. He is sovereign. He chooses for us the path we would go. We are to follow His path. Why is this tree that's been planted so strong and fruitful and not withering? Because it's by the river. It's by the nutritious, refreshing source of life and replenishment and nourishment. Right? Doesn't say a tree planted in the desert. It's by a river. And that's a theme of the Bible. If you look up trees planted by river, you will see that going through all the way to heaven. There's a tree on either side of the river planted by God, and the water comes from under the temple. So these are special words. This is not just an example. It's the example. The blessed person in 2018 is in the Word of God, shuns the world, is like the tree by the river. What is this river? This is the river that we're planted by, right? And it seems obvious as we think about it and as we dwell upon it. I mean, how does a tree withstand a whole week of this sub freezing temperatures. How does the same tree withstand the drought and 100 plus degree temperatures of the summer? How does a tree withstand the storms and the wind? How does a Christian endure trials and persecution and suffering and hard times? We're by the river. We're in the Word of God. We want to have a successful and a happy 2018. We want to be blessed, which is the same word as happy. We spend time in the Word every day. You know, none of us would think of going a whole week and not hydrate ourselves. Like, are you thirsty? No, I had a drink last Tuesday. I'm going to wait a whole another week and have some more water. We wouldn't live very long. We hydrate ourselves. Even if it is only coffee, at least there's some water in that, right? And so, the tree is by the river, and we need to be every day in the Word of God. For decades now, this church has read through the Bible together. It's a voluntary program. Anyone can do it. There's a schedule, and we always encourage that. I'm so thankful when somebody talks to me about that and explains to me, here's where I've been reading, or I'm 2 weeks behind, but I'll catch up, you know, and it's very possible to get months behind and still catch up. Do you know that? It's really not that hard. You just got to work at it a little bit. I want to encourage each one of you, encourage myself. Let's be in the Bible every single day in 2018. If so, we're going to be like that tree, strong, fruitful. Our leaves aren't going to wither. We're going to be blessed. We're going to be happy. We're going to delight in the things of God. We're going to shun the ways of the world and follow the ways of the Word. Verse 3 ends with a statement, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. At this point, the psalmist abandons the example of a tree and just says, whatever he does is going to prosper. A little summary statement that's saying, the path to prosperity, not financial prosperity, not fame and success, prosperity of the person who's living life as God intended is the one by the river. Then verses 4 and 5, moving on, show us the opposite person. And it just says, the ungodly are not so. And that not so is open-ended. The ungodly are not so. They're not like the person in verses 1, 2, and 3. Not that. Not at all. Opposite of that. And so whatever we see in verses 1, 2, and 3 as the characteristics of the blessed, godly person, we can just assume or apply the opposite to the ungodly. They're not so. So they don't delight in the Word of God. They don't meditate on it. They don't read it every day. They listen to those around them. They take their cues as to how we should think about things from social media and from Google and from the news and all that stuff. They act like everybody else, because we know how to behave by how the rest of the people in the world behave. They belong and they fit in everywhere else as well. They're not like a tree. What are they like? What's the Bible say here? They're like chaff. We know what chaff is, right? Do you know what chaff is? I mean, when you harvest wheat and you get to the good grain, they used to beat it to loosen the seed from the rest, the unusable part. And he used to do it on a hill, and it would do it in the evening when there was a nice gentle breeze, because the idea is as you beat the grain, the chaff would rise up, and the wind would just carry it away. Worthless. Useless. Jesus said that they gather the chaff and burn it in the oven. And the ungodly, they're not like this tree. They're like this worthless chaff, which the wind driveth away. You know, the same wind that buffets the tree and makes the tree stronger is the wind that drives the chaff away. And the conditions of this world and suffering and difficulty make the Christian stronger and destroy the ungodly. It's not the wind that's the problem. You know, the rain falls down and it beats and storms come, but the house built upon the rock stands sure. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, per verse 5. They will not sit in the congregation of the righteous. So we have that same image of walking, standing, sitting. They're not going to walk with the people of God. They're not going to stand in the judgment, meaning when judgment time comes, they're not going to have a leg to stand on. They're not going to be able to defend themselves. They're not going to be able to say, I trust Christ as my Savior. They're going to fall in judgment. And they're not going to sit in the congregation. They're not going to walk, stand, sit. They have different places. They're walking in the council of the ungodly, and they're standing in the way of sinners, and they're sitting in the seat of the scornful. And so this short but powerful psalm wraps up with verse 6, where it says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." The Lord knows him, them that are his, it says in 1 Timothy. Christ knows his brothers and sisters. And this word, where it says the Lord knoweth them that are his, knoweth the way of the righteous. That word know is not like intellectual knowledge. It's not like I'm aware of the facts. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean I intellectually know something. The Lord knows. It doesn't mean that. The word know is the word for intimacy. It's for a close, personal relationship. From the beginning of the Bible, we see that word where it says, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she became pregnant. She brought forth a son. You don't just know somebody and they get pregnant, right? There's intimacy. And that's what this word is. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows us. He loves us. He is with us. We have this relationship. But the way of the ungodly shall perish, this psalm says. So that's the verse by verse going through this. Two applications. The first is the application of salvation. Clearly, this psalm presents two choices, two paths. And so in 2018, there are some among us who aren't saved yet. Being weighed in the scales between life and death, between being righteous and being unrighteous. If your life would end, if you would never see the calendar turn to 2018, where would you be? The sinner acknowledges, I'm a sinner, and my sin condemns me to hell, where I will pay for my sin for all of eternity. But Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, and through faith, through repentance, I can accept that free gift and be saved and follow through with baptism and with a life that's dedicated to God. That's the only way for 2018 to be a happy new year for those outside of the kingdom is to repent. And my urging, my begging, I can't be more forceful to say, do not decide to become a Christian in 2018. Do it in 2017. While the Bible says, while it is yet today, harden not your hearts. oh, the enemy's tactic is, that's fine, 2018 sounds like a good idea, just not today. Tomorrow's always fine, but today's not. And the today's and tomorrow's just roll together, and maybe you resolved years ago, and now another year's going to go. So the first application of this psalm is the clear choice regarding salvation. The second is also the clear choice, but it's regarding sanctification for the believer. Do we want to live happily in 2018 as the Creator intended us? We can choose the ways of the world, or we can choose the ways of the Word. It's that simple. If we want to be happy, we obey the Word. Jesus said, if ye, in John, see if I can find it, 13:17, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. In the book of James, it says, don't be just a hearer of the Word, but be a doer. And then it goes on to say in James 1:25, but whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, meaning obedience, right? He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. There's that word, happy. If we continue in the Word of God, and we not just hear it, but we do it, that person's going to have a good 2018. They're going to be blessed. They're going to be happy. I think the best verse I can think of that summarizes this message is in Joshua 1:8. Listen to what Joshua 1:8 says. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We could have such a great year in 2018 here in this church. We could all have in our lives such victory in prayer and in service and in witnessing. We can all be assured of our salvation. To do so, we need to delight in the Word of God, to meditate in it day and night. Blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it. Let's conclude with that song in the Zion's Harp, hymn 339. Blessed are they.